On November 16th, while I was working at my computer, I suddenly became aware of a familiar sound, but one I simply did not expect to hear in November, the beating of a hummingbird's wings. I looked out my back window to see a hummingbird at the feeder I'd left out just in case such a straggler might appear one fine day. This wasn't a ruby-throated hummingbird, though it was just as small. It had rusty sides and several other plumage clues that indicated it belonged to the genus Selasphorus. The first week she was at my house, a lot of birders gathered with cameras and sent me photos, and I took some of my own. Hummingbird experts, including several experienced hummingbird banders, closely examined the photos. All agree she's an adult female, Selasphorus. A few are certain, based on the shape of some of her tail feathers, that she's a rufous hummingbird, but a couple don't believe the photos completely rule out the possibility of a much rarer Allen's hummingbird. I named her Viola after Shakespeare's Twelfth Night character because she's intelligent, independent, and feisty, and because for several days she had a lot of us, including experts, tricked into thinking she was a boy. As thrilling as it's been having a hummingbird at my feeder in November, one that was new for a great many birders, state and county lists, and even some life lists, and even made the front page of the Duluth News Tribune, it was a little scary wondering if she'd survive when winter gets really cold up here. December 2nd, it got down to at least 6 degrees before I went to bed, and as I listened to my house creaking and groaning with cold, I kept wondering how that tiny bird could survive such conditions. But the next morning, there she was at my feeder, bright-eyed as usual. My hope from the start was that she'd spend a few days here and then move on. Hummingbirds migrate by day, stopping here and there where they spot likely places to eat. I knew if she came through the afternoon and then didn't appear next morning, that she'd have died during the night. So my hope was that one day she'd show up for a big breakfast and then disappear at mid-morning. And that's exactly what happened on December 3rd. Friday was the perfect day for her to leave because the temperature in Duluth got over freezing and there were mild weather conditions predicted to last for a few days south and east of here. How likely is it that she'll survive the winter? It turns out that rufous hummingbirds wintering in the eastern United States and even Canada are not that uncommon. I found an internet site with an animated map showing when and where over 200 rufous hummingbirds have been wintering in the east, and there are several in the top tier of states, with my little Viola the northernmost one. Hummingbird bander Alan Chartier, who has trapped and banded thousands of hummingbirds and kept close track of wintering ones, has had returns of banded birds in very cold areas, so apparently they're quite capable of figuring out how to eke out a living in extreme climates and do just fine. I boosted her food, making it a third of a cup of sugar to one cup of water, and putting that in a blender with a few mealworms to provide her with at least some insect fats and protein. We'll never know if that was enough to sustain her as she moved onward with her migration. All we can do is hope, and hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul. Every bird dies, but I'm relieved and happy that Viola's final day was not among the 18 that she spent with me, and that my feeders may quite possibly have put her into good enough condition to allow her to safely travel to a more balmy wintering ground. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.